Retailers keep those doors open, hoping for a profitable holiday.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm Lizzie O'Leary, and this is the Marketplace Midday Update. If you take advantage of a last-minute sale today, American retailers will probably thank you. This year's shopping season was shorter than most, which means that retailers have been trying hard to squeeze out profits. We're going to talk about this with Julie Neiman. She's an analyst at Smith Moore & Company. Good morning.
Morning, Lizzie.
All right, so I'm seeing that stores have got late hours and they are promising that you can run in and get whatever the thing is at the last minute. It feels like they're trying to squeeze a profit out here. What's going on?
Basically, they're staying open 100 hours plus just to move the merchandise and to get it off the shelves. Retail sales are up somewhat, not as booming as they expected, but overall, we're seeing about a 2% increase. This is what they would call mediocre, but it still is significantly better than last year, and consumers are still shopping.
You know, we also got the durable goods number today, and we got a jump, 3.5%. But when you talk about durable goods, it's people buying things like washing machines and toasters. They're not running out and buying a fancy dress. This is a different kind of economic buying.
It is. This big depression that we had made everybody very, very prudent. They want things that will last. They're replacing things, too. So when you're looking at computers and electronics, these are the kinds of things that most shoppers are out there buying right now. And bottom line is, while the jobs situation has improved, people's incomes really haven't improved at all. So they have to be very thrifty.
Julie Neiman, analyst at Smith Moore & Company, thank you so much.
You bet.
When the jobless rate is high, as it is now, the federal government often covers unemployment insurance after people run out of their state benefits. But Congress didn't extend emergency unemployment compensation as part of its budget deal. And this Saturday, more than a million of the long-term unemployed will lose their benefits. As Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports, high long-term unemployment may be here to stay.
Nancy Shields is 59 and lives in San Diego. She was managing a clothing store, which downsized, laying her off. She's seen a lot of turnover in her career.
I was usually able to get another job within a couple of weeks because I have quite a bit of experience under my belt.
Not this time. She's been looking for 2 years. Long-term unemployment has not been this high for this long since before World War II. Roughly 4 in 10 of the unemployed have been looking for 6 months or longer. That's double the peak in most previous recessions. The situation's got Michael Strain, an economist at the Conservative American Enterprise Institute, sounding like a bleeding heart. He favors extending unemployment benefits to keep people engaged.
A lot of the long-term unemployed probably are hanging on to the labor force by a pretty thin thread, feeling like they may not succeed and they don't have a lot of confidence in their ability to re-enter employment.
But with 3 job seekers for every available job, the danger is many of the long-term unemployed will eventually give up, raid retirement savings, or try to go on disability. But that won't work for everyone.
We've put up the lights and I'm trying to put on a happy face for the kids, but I am in a panic.
Susan Prouty of Spokane, Washington, was laid off in the spring from her job DJing at a local radio station.
We're Spokane's number one hit music station.
She has 2 teenagers and runs out of emergency unemployment this week.
With 30 years in the same business, you're either underqualified or overqualified for almost everything. It's really hard to get, you know, somebody from a coffee shop to take you seriously.
But you'd take a barista job.
Absolutely, I would.
In the meantime, Prouty's been DJing private parties. She's developing a niche market, swing to disco for senior citizens. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
I'm David Brancaccio. Marketplace is listener supported. I know that just goes in one ear and out the other, but it means it is supported by listeners like you. So to keep our coverage compelling, up to date, up to the minute, if you can, make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift in any amount will support your daily dose of business insight from us. Help us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. You can donate by going to marketplace.org by the end of the year, December 31st. Thanks.
Tonight, millions of kids will be revved up in anticipation of Christmas morning, making it a perfect time for Netflix to unveil its first original series for kids. It's an animated show about a super-fast snail. Marketplace's David Weinberg unwraps Netflix's on-demand strategy geared toward little viewers.
Before Netflix and DVRs, there was one day when children gathered around the TV, cereal bowl in lap, and watched cartoons. Saturday morning. And along with those cartoons came lots and lots of commercials.
So far, at least, the majority of on-demand programming isn't interspersed with commercial advertising.
Rebecca Haynes studies children's media at Salem State University. She says many of the parents she talks to prefer ad-free content for their kids. And streaming services are well-suited for keeping kids within a safe zone of programming, another plus for parents. And it's these parents that Netflix is courting with its first original kids series, Turbo FAST.
Little children love watching the same program again and again.
Peter Bowden is a children's television producer. He says another key advantage is that unlimited viewing is included in the monthly subscription fee. And if kids ever do tire of an episode, they can binge on multiple episodes at once, like their parents do with other Netflix originals like Orange is the New Black and House of Cards. I'm David Weinberg for Marketplace.
We all know by now that Beyoncé sells albums and sells out concerts, but she's book publishing magic too. Beyoncé sampled a TED Talk by Nigerian writer Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie on her new album, and wow, TheAtlantic.com ran the stats. The day before Beyoncé's new album came out, Amazon.com ranked Adichie's book Americana number 861 of hardcover books. 5 days later, it was ranked 632. And yesterday, number 179. The Beehive is powerful. In New York, I'm Lizzie O'Leary with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.